Hi, everybody. I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the world of politics cover every day on WGN-TV and into the world of my passion, theater and the arts, as we talk about one of the most incredible shows I've ever seen at Steppenwolf or any other theater. And I've got pretty much the whole cast here and the director of the show, who I've just so admired for so many years. Thank you all for being here and joining me. I don't think any of you need introductions because people know I'll probably work some stuff in as we go, because John Dre, everybody just saw you do an American Psycho and that great. With, if any of you didn't see it, I hope they bring it back because he's amazing in that. And it's a great show. And Micah, your story, Stock, your great work on Broadway and stuff. Lori, I don't think anybody knows who you are from anything you've done. So I, you know, we all know you. And Joe Mantello, I have loved you since you starred on Broadway in Angels in America, which I saw back in the day. So that's how long I've been with you. And and we worked together for a show here when you were directing Wicked and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, welcome all. I do have to start with a hello to you, Lori, because we're going to trigger your memory here. I want to see if I'm going to see if this name means anything to you. And if it doesn't, I'll tell you. Regards to you. They heard I was doing this. And so they called me. Do you remember Michael Weiss?
Give me a clue, because I know the name.
You worked for him.
Oh my God. I was his secretary.
Yes.
Yes, he was a lawyer and he was my boss.
And he said that Malkovich and Sinise used to come around, and hey, it was when you guys were in the Highland Park basement and yes, starting things. And he said those guys would come around and hang around. And so he will be thrilled to know that you remember.
Yes, I'd make coffee in the morning, have my stack of to-do over here on the left. At the end of the day, it would be on the right, and I would go home and sleep well at night.
Yeah, just waiting to do theater, right? Because trust me, I practiced law for years. That's something you do while you're waiting to do something else.
Right.
in the office. All right, let's talk a little bit about Little Bear Ridge Road, a title that's sort of an unassuming title, but then you sit through the show and your mind is just blown away. Written by Samuel Hunter. And this is a Laurie Joe thing, but Joe, I'll just ask you, is it true that you and or you and Laurie asked Samuel Hunter, who is very well known, I'll mention in a second what he's done that everybody knows, but that you went to him because you wanted to come back to Steppenwolf, Lori, where you started, and do a show in Chicago, and you asked him to write this essentially for you. True?
Mostly true, mainly true. Lori and I had several conversations with Glenn and Audrey about Lori coming back to Steppenwolf, and we threw some titles back and forth for some revivals and couldn't settle on anything. And I think they were actually the ones who said, well, what if we commission something? And do you remember, Lori? I think they brought up Sam, and we both loved his.
Yeah, they did. That was the only name they brought up. And we were intrigued by the idea of a commission to begin with. And then both happened to be fans of his, but we didn't all know each other. Ah. So Joe and I were in New York and met him during a break he had when he was working on, what was it, Joe? One of his plays was about to open at the Signature Theater. And we had a quick 1 hour meeting and everybody got on and he said, well, I have an idea for something. And 3 months later, he handed it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most people know, the reason I said everybody knows him is because I think we've all seen certainly The Whale, at least the film, The Whale with Brendan Fraser, just incredible. I think, you know, I'm sure all of you really respect that work. But what I notice about Samuel Hunter's plays, Mike, I'll come to you for this one. This is a guy, I don't know much about his personal life, except to say he writes a lot about social isolation. I mean, this is when you think of The Whale. And it's amazing what this guy can write with not much more than a chair or, in your case, a couch. And to work with that. What was your sense when you first heard about this play and coming to join this cast? And I assume you were familiar with The Whale and his other work.
Yes. So I've known Sam personally for almost a decade now, and I had the opportunity to work on, you know, workshops of various plays of his, never had the opportunity to do a full production. So when I sort of caught wind of this, I heavily intimated that that would be of interest to me. So I was already a fan. And I think what's amazing about Sam, and I think, you know, almost everyone here is, you know, born and bred in the Midwest, that he writes about the people who live on the periphery and who don't often get their lives theatricalized. And so to me, that's immediately the most exciting thing about the worlds that Sam builds. And I think this play specifically is like an incredible distillate of, you know, a lifetime of work that he's built about writing about people in Idaho specifically.
Yeah, well played. And of course, this is fairly autobiographical in terms of his life and all of that. And my understanding, John, I'll come to you and then we'll come to the plot of the play. But my understanding is the dramaturg in the show is his husband. So, yes. Right. So that also meant you weren't just getting a dramaturg's view of life here based on Stanislavski or something. You're getting a guy who, you know, is married to the one who lived this and really could inform you about perhaps what the underlying message and goals were.
I'd say so. Yeah, I think it's not strictly autobiographical, but just a lot of Sam, just like any writer, I suppose, is able to pull from his life and pull from his experiences and kind of assemble a collage and distill it down into an hour and a half like Little Bear Ridge Road, and John is a big part of that. In terms of helping craft a world for all of us on stage, we came into the first day of rehearsal, and John had organized this rather impressive timeline of just the entirety of history in Idaho from a geologic era before you know
millennium. You almost need to do that if you're going to cover Idaho, yeah.
to the events of the play.
I love that. Let's talk about that. Now, I'm always very careful never to give away secrets of the show. I'm going to be honest and say this. I think you all know that we're missing one of the cast members of the show, Megan, but I will tell you that it's intentional. I love her. I loved her work in POTUS. She's fabulous. But I think to keep some of the things we need to learn about this show from people knowing until they see the show, I decided not to. To have Megan on the show. So that's with all due respect, but I hope you understand why I did that. So Laurie, rather than giving anything away, I'm going to come to you for the plot. I have to tell you why I do this. When I interviewed the cast of Dear Evan Hansen, a show you all know well, I'm sure, I said, is there anything I shouldn't give away? And one of the cast members said, well, don't say that Connor died. I said, He died the first 5 seconds of the show. Why are we keeping that? But people have their reasons for secrets, Joe, you understand. So, Laurie, what is this play about as you see your character, Sarah Fernsby? How does she see it?
Well, I can talk about the character. As far as the plot goes, it's a hard play to talk about because it's very small and intimate, and it's mostly about relationships. And so to describe the plot isn't, I don't think, doing the play justice. Okay. Because it's so slice of life and tiny. But my character is a woman who has lived alone most of her life and was in a small city in Idaho to begin with, and now has moved even further outside that small city because she prefers not to be around too many people. And she's very controlling, I guess, and brash. And has her own way of doing things. And when her nephew shows up because of someone they've lost in the family, they have to learn how to deal with each other. And it happens to also coincide with the pandemic. Not that that plays an integral part in the show at all, but gives us a little feeling of why they are spending a lot of time alone together.
And I think, and by the way, when I think of your character, I mean, this is clearly somebody who, she has a heart, right? But she's got a lot of walls up as she deals with family members. Is it fair to say?
Yes, that's fair. Yes. Yeah, we're steering away. We found in the rehearsal room, thanks to Joe, that to lay into the brusqueness of these people and play against the sentimentality. And when you do that, the sentimentality comes through anyway. You see the heart coming through anyway, as even though some of the characters are trying to steer clear of it and stay away from it.
Yeah. Micah, let's talk about your character, Ethan. I actually think if anybody is Samuel Hunter in the show, it's your character, Ethan. I'm guessing. I mean, if I'm wrong, you can tell me that's wrong. But for me, as I want you to talk about it, but there's a line in the show that if one of the funny, so much of the humor in the show is something where you have to hear it and it's like a ba-dump bump, give it a moment and then it clicks in. So in this show, we learn that Ethan, who's a student of fiction, he's studying fiction, wants to be a fiction writer, and begins and is writing about his own life until he realized he didn't like the main characters. And I mean, just such a classic line and concept, but you tell, I know I shouldn't have thrown that out there, but you tell me about Ethan, Micah.
Well, I guess I would first say that, you know, like Ethan, who writes auto fiction, you know, there are elements of Sam and his personality that are injected into the play. But I think it would be, you know, reductive to say that it is Sam, because it is a fully new human that he's built, who has pieces of him and his life in those relationships. But yeah, Ethan is, you know, I sort of think of him in opposition to Sarah is that they sort of both are in this, you know, same room building turrets at the same time and occasionally hurling, you know, things over the wall to see if the other person is there. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's a Molotov cocktail, sometimes it's a cupcake. What is so rich to me about exploring this with Lori in regards to, you know, the smallness of it is that, you know, there are times where it can feel like a laugh riot, times where it feels like the small intimate family portrait. But we keep getting back to like how little or how much can these people connect because they've been so wounded. Both from the world outside and each other. So I don't know if I told you much about Ethan so much as
I've seen the show, so I know what you're talking about. And you know, and the thing is, everybody's got to get to see this by August 4th. You've had an extension, but I think that's it until August 4th. And Mike, I want to give you kudos because, and Lori, I'm not blowing smoke here, but you know, you are, I'm taking the TV stuff out of it. For Steppenwolf here, you are one of the finest actors this city has created. And the thing and the talent you have, you can make something as funny as it can possibly be, but you also have the ability to, it's a compliment, blow up a line, take it to just the highest of limits. That's why I say it's clear to me Sam Hunter wrote this show either for you or with you in mind, because he allows you to do all. There's times you have me rolling on the floor and there's times I'm crying. You just, it's unbelievable. But that's not the compliment is to you, Micah. Because if I were cast in this show, I would be freaking out that I'm starring across from Laurie Metcalf. So I'm all the kudos, but you, man, hold your own. You make a presence in this play that I'm sure Laurie and Joe and John are incredibly proud of. I just want to congratulate you on that because you're up some this incredible actor and man, you do it. You bring it.
Well, that's very kind, and I won't deflect too much, but I will say that when you are surrounded, and I'll start with Lori, but this extends to John and Megan as well. Joe described Lori to me as working with a scalpel, and that was so clear, I think, very early on, and it became very clear to me that that actually working with an actress of Lori's caliber is a lot easier than working with someone else, because if you just look to her, you sort of find your way. And I've worked with a lot of great actors who, you know, but Lori is the one who makes the job the easiest. And you know, John Dre and Megan, I think we were so lucky because this play is such a, we talk about it as it being the differences in how it lands are a matter of degrees. And John and Megan play their instruments so beautifully and albeit briefly within the play. And I think that those notes are just, it's astonishingly hard to walk into a play that is already rolling and do your job that way. So,
and noting you've done Terrence McNally's "And Away We Go," and you've done a front page on Broadway. So yes, I get what you mean when you're talking about working with incredible actors. John, I swear I'm coming to you next, but Micah said something I have to follow up with Joe. He said that working with Lori is working with a scalpel. Now, what I had in mind, if I was working with Lori, I notice the way she is able to play off of a facial, because in this show, I sit in the front row when I'm at Steppenwolf. Every facial expression, everything, she knows how to play it. But I think working with a scalpel, Joe, also means she knows how others need to then play off her. Is that what that means?
No, I don't think, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, Lori.
Well, then you speak for yourself. I don't mean to put words in your mouth.
Yeah. No, I think what Lori does is she comes very prepared. She's got, you know, a bucket full of ideas, hurls them against the wall, sees what sticks. I've certainly worked with actors who have looked at other actors in the room and said, is she going to do that? I don't get that from, I've never seen Lori do that. No, I think she's a thoroughbred, and so she comes ready to work. And it has this incredible effect in a rehearsal room of, you know, raising everybody to that standard. That's what I've seen happen time and time again. And I've noticed, and I've said this recently, that in the process, I've had a few shows lately where Lori hasn't been in the room, and I really miss that person who is sort of leading the room.
I would say that I come in with a sledgehammer, and then Joe teaches me how to hold the scalpel. That's my version of it.
Metaphors are fabulous. Okay, John, if there's anybody not socially awkward in this show, it's your character. It's James. So you really are a counterpart to a lot of these other characters. And yet, as I watch James sort of play out here, I don't know. I'm kind of wondering, why is he getting mixed up with this crowd? And then I'm thinking, maybe because we're in Idaho.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I feel like there's something to be said for that. I think James is a romantic. He's ambitious, but he's a romantic. And I think he sees something in Ethan. He sees that creative potential in Ethan, and he wants to be a part of that. There's a side of James that thinks of himself as a fixer. I think he sees broken people and he wants to help them. I think he sees a path forward for people. He sees a future for people, and he wants to be a part of getting people to that point.
Joe, when you first got the script, I've looked at the script and I'm thinking, I'm not a director, but if I saw a script and said, oh, I wonder where this is set and how what we're going to look at here, and I believe the description is a couch in a void. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, as the director, do you look and go, that's all I need to know?
Yeah, there's a lot of information in that statement, you know, and I look at it and go, oh, good, because we're going to get out of the way of the acting, and it's going to be a challenge to figure out how do you create a complicated, nuanced physical life in a room or a series of rooms or a series of environments where you really only have the sofa. So to me, it's like he's thrown down a great challenge for the director and for the cast with that very simple stage direction.
It's also a thing when you think of the whale, right? There, a chair is the primary focus. I mean, the character is in a home, but it's really about a chair that he pretty much is tied to. Lori, the conversation in the show, I think it's tough between the characters. As Micah said, you never know if you're getting a Molotov cocktail or a cupcake or something like coming at you. Sarah seems to be an incredibly complicated character. It's like every time you speak, she speaks in the show, we're getting a world of very complicated relationships. I think it's fair enough to say that Micah's come to town. I don't think this is getting anything away. Micah's coming to town because his father's passed away. And so there's affairs that have to be wrapped up. And that's a reason that this is all happening. But clearly, Sarah has a relationship with his father, with him, so complicated for her that you have to play.
Yeah, they have a messy background. The whole family does. And they are the last two people of this lineage, which they come to realize during the show. And that's a bond that either I don't know how that bond is fluid. It's sometimes they can consider themselves the last two Fernsbys in a negative way or a positive way. But I guess she seems like a complicated character just because she's has a lot of feelings always simmering and doesn't know how to release them sometimes. So with her, you're probably people that deal with this character are probably never quite sure they're on really secure footing. She's kind of a bit of a loose cannon.
Joe, you've directed so many different things, but I think of, something like Wicked, which is in this huge, huge theater, directing in that space. And Steppenwolf is not a small place, but boy, they've created, you're in the downstairs theater, and what a great, side note, Lori, what do you think of the new theater?
The new one. I've only seen one show in there, but I'm really tempted about working in the round. So I want to try that out. But our show fits so beautifully and perfectly in the downstairs theater.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your take. Did you see Thanksgiving play? I'm sorry, I'm going off.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm really yeah.
And if those of you who didn't see the Thanksgiving play, it has a line that should be a Tony Award winning line, which is when Tim Hopper makes the comment about something about, I want to be a dramaturg. Somebody goes, what is that? And Hopper goes, nobody knows. But anyway, so Joe, can you talk about the difference of directing not only in a more intimate space compared to things you've done, but again, having a set that's requiring you to say, we're going to get out of the way of the acting, as you just said, but playing to a very intimate house?
Oh, I would prefer. I mean, I prefer to direct something in a space like the downstairs theater, anytime, any day. That's where I feel the most comfortable. But when you have actors of this caliber, I mean, it's interesting because it seems like the life in that room just seems effortless. But you guys can talk to this as well. To find the life of the physical life in that room where we just had that sofa, it was really fascinating because the way that they are in these environments tells us a lot about what's going on. You know, the way that they use that sofa, the way that they, it tells us something about where they are in relation to one another a year into the relationship. And so I loved it. I loved coming up with different ways in which we could, sort of illuminate that life.
Was the choice of gray, because the sofa is gray. It is on carpeting, by the way, probably bought from Empire Carpet. I don't know. It is Chicago. But was gray your choice, or was that, I don't remember that being in the script.
Well, interestingly enough, that very sofa comes in a charcoal gray, which was our first choice.
Oh.
And it wasn't available. But we liked the things that the sofa did. And I was, on the site, and I was like, oh, it comes in this kind of crazy oyster gray color. Maybe that would be good. And that's what we ended up with. And then both Scott Pass, the set designer, and I thought, like, oh, thank God it wasn't the charcoal gray one wasn't available. This is just so good.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think it's intentional. But now I know the true story. Let's talk about Joe, Micah. Joe, as you know, I don't know if you started as an actor, Joe. My introduction to you was as an actor. But now, of course, he's the director. Would you say that Joe is an actor's director because of his background, or the director's director?
Oh, well, I would say both. I don't know that there's an... I don't know that they're mutually exclusive.
I'm making you wrestle with
But I would start. But no, certainly my one of my favorite things about working with Joe is that he has gone there. When he is asking you to put your butt on the line, you know that it's because he has done it himself, and that is what a play requires. So there is a great deal of trust there, and he is able to step inside, I think, of each person's point of view very quickly. And so in the rehearsal room, you never feel like you don't have space to do your own work until you need someone else to come inside of it with you, because you're saying to yourself, I don't know how to serve Ethan at this point. I don't want to bring in too many, like, you know, metaphors of, like, you know, he's able to jump into the soul of someone from across the room, but it does feel that way sometimes. But to be honest with you, it's also just a spirit of play and curiosity. I feel like Joe leads a lot with questions as opposed to directives. And that's a really exciting place to be, because it makes you feel like you're not going to land on something and try and hammer away at it. But I also think, you know, the deeper and richer a play is, the more fun that is had ultimately. Yeah.
John, let me ask you, for your character, for James, how did Joe help you shape that character?
Oh, how did it help? I've found working with Joe to be, I've just found Joe to be an incredibly patient and collaborative director. And so thanks, Joe. I appreciate that. I'm very grateful for that. Yeah, I feel like, to Micah's point, I feel like Joe tends to lead with questions, and for a new play like this, I think that's especially relevant, because it's just one big puzzle, and the process of creating a new work like this is just unpacking that puzzle, and every question will lead to another question, and it leads to another question, and then again, to Micah's point, it just gets richer and richer and richer. And I found every day coming in as James, I get to ask myself a new question, and most of those are just like offshoots of the rabbit holes that Joe has led me down, which is a lot of fun. I like unpacking that.
Laurie, you wanted to work with Joe, and you've been around since the Steppenwolf's beginning. I mean, yeah, you are Gary Sinise, and you know, we go with all the old names of the John Mahoney, on and on with those, for Martha Levy, when we go to that flip side. How does Joe's not, unless something changed, I don't think you're an ensemble member at Steppenwolf, Joe. So what is it, Laurie, that makes you say, I want Joe to be part of this family? You go to the beginning.
Well, we've worked, I think it's our seventh show we've done together. And for me, working with Joe, it's all about having fun in the rehearsal room. A lot of laughs, a lot of creativity, a lot of ideas bouncing around, very collaborative. And then it's the amount of trust that I feel that there's somebody who's watching out for me, not going to let me make a fool out of myself on stage. It's going to help me work through bumpy areas that I don't understand, and let's figure it out together. And so I brings in ideas that I never would have thought of in a million years. And usually they're ideas that make us both burst out laughing in the rehearsal room. So I know that it's going to be a lot of work, because we can always also be no nonsense, as was the whole cast. And it's a really tight ensemble. But there's also a time to play. And I think when you're also have worked with somebody a number of times, you know, you just hit the ground running. There's not a lot of wasted time. Our days were short and sweet and to the point. And I think all of us in that room enjoyed working that way.
Joe, so I asked them, are you the actor's director, whatever? So let me ask you, how critical is the fact that you have this amazing acting background? I already said Angels in America, Normal Heart, just so many things I've seen you in and that you've done. How does that inform your directing? It has to be critical to it.
I mean, I don't have another point of view, so I have nothing to compare it to. I just have whatever. I stumbled into directing, so whatever process I have, if you could even, I mean, that's even too big a word. It is really all entirely made up. You know, I learned on the job, and I was fortunate to come up in a time where that was possible. I started out at Circle Rep, and they really kind of, you know, in a way, I think probably Lori close to Steppenwolf. It's like you got to go up and do your thing. And if you failed, you were in the next show. And that's how you learn. You fail better each time. And so I don't know. I don't have any kind of proper training as a director. And so each time it feels like an improvisation based on the people that are in the room.
Gotcha. Yeah, I get it. By the way, I'm off the path for one more time because you also directed Here We Are, Sondheim's final show. And just can I just get a quick statement from you? I did not see it, and I certainly hope it comes back around. But would Stephen be proud of that show?
I mean, I certainly hope so. He was a great collaborator. Maybe, you know, he was just, for being such a legend and a god of the theater, he was incredibly generous as a collaborator and would certainly have his own opinions, but he never, ever played the Stephen Sondheim card. It was always like, what is best for the show? And in fact, if we got to a stalemate, he would often say, listen, I don't agree with that, but you're the director and you have to pursue that.
Lori, I'm not going to ask you do you like TV, movies, you know, theater better? Because I think I know the answer. You tell me if I'm wrong. You are a theater actor. That is your heart. You do great in television, all that other stuff. But I think if God came down and said, pick one, Ms. Metcalf, you'd go theater and you'd go Steppenwolf.
Yes, yes. It would always be theater for me. And like Joe said, maybe that's because of where I started. But I just love the whole process. I miss extended rehearsals, which you usually don't get in film and TV. The rehearsal period is my favorite part, coming up with everything in the rehearsal room. Then you have the other skill set, which is, you know, doing it 8 times a week.
And by the way, Joe, you talked about with such little set, you can stay out of the actor's way. Did you stay out of the actor's way?
Well, that's a question for them, I think. I like to think that I show up every day having taken a metaphorical shower and a real shower, but a shower. So when I sit in the chair every day and I'm, you know, and we're sort of making the thing, I try to approach it every day as a clean slate, as a, you know, an audience member sitting in the chair for the first time and going, does this make sense? How could this be better? So I show up prepared, but I don't necessarily show up with a roadmap that then I dictate to the actors. They may feel differently, but
Micah, do you feel differently from what Joe just said?
No.
John? Okay.
John. No, I don't trust.
I mean, no, I don't.
All right, they're with you. And Lori, I guess, but again, you're different because you're friends. You know, you have a deep relationship. But well, how do you answer that question? If what Joe said is the way it is?
I like his description of it, that he's coming. He tries to be as fresh as he can, a new pair of eyes every day. That's what we need. That's what, you know, because we can't see what he sees. And so that's, we're totally reliant on what he's experiencing and then his feedback. So, yeah, I think he described it perfectly.
But it needs a certain amount of trust in the room for that to happen. And I remember when we were making this thing, the transitions from scene to scene, that sort of evolved over the course of rehearsals. And I had a vague notion of how it might work, but the way in which it ultimately became part of the tapestry, the fabric of the play, and in fact helped to comment on the play, was something that we all discovered in the room just by trial and error.
Mm-hmm. Well, the show Little Bear Ridge Road is amazing. And we just went 25 minutes and never said what this play is about, which I think is fabulous. we did that. I don't know if you all read your reviews. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. The best review I saw was one that said highly recommended. No, the highest recommendation.
Oh,
and, I looked to see who wrote it. It turns out it was my review. But hey, I got it right. You can see Little Bear Ridge Road at Steppenwolf through August 4th. Tickets at steppenwolf.org. It's the Downstairs Theater. You guys know I just love you. I was actually supposed to come back this weekend. I wanted my brother and his wife to see the show. I've given them my tickets for the next time around. So they will be there in my front row seats. But I hope to see you again before you close. Thank you. Congratulations to all of you. Continue to break legs. Thank you for your time here. I know there's demands on it, but I'm so glad you finally got to do an interview for someone who saw the show and we got to talk about it.
Thank you.
Little Bear Ridge Road. God bless everybody. See you soon. Thank you. Mm-hmm.